Hello and welcome to the Monroe Method Clancast. I am Jason Monroe. This is episode 78. Now, today we are talking about yo-yo dieting, but we're talking about it in a very specific sense. Now, most of what I talk about is related to yo-yo dieting and people chasing their weight up and down. But today we're going to talk about actual yo-yo dieting, because this came up at a check-in with one of my members last week, and it got me thinking down a whole new train of thought, which is something that often happens. And I think many people think that yo-yo dieting is their weight going up and down. Now, your weight going up and down isn't yo-yo dieting. It's a result of your yo-yo dieting. It's a side effect. It's an outcome of your yo-yo dieting. But when we drill down into it, yo-yo dieting itself is when you jump from one version of your diet to another version of your diet. So for example, tomorrow or Monday morning, you decide that you want to lose weight. And many of you, I mean, it varies from person to person. Many of you will have a set list of things that you do when you traditionally start dieting. So I'll give you an example. When people come to work with me inside the Monroe Method, they do so with their dieting history behind them, with their habits behind them, their different behaviors behind them. So, and it varies wildly from person to person, but you'll get the kind of traditional person who will get to the end of the first week and they'll be following, you know, there'll be some kind of specific trend. So their carbs might look super low or their fat might look super low because their approach to their diet, to their weight in the past has been, when I'm trying to lose weight, I stop eating carbs. When I'm trying to lose weight, everything I eat is low fat. And it's these versions of diet. That's what yo-yo dieting is. So you decide you want to lose weight. You switch into that mode where, you know, you go to the supermarket at the weekend, you stock up on all these different foods that you normally eat when you're getting into that diet mode. You bring them all home and you start eating them. And that's you switching into one version of your diet, right? This is you in fat loss mode. When I'm trying to lose weight, here are the things I eat. I switch to fry light and low fat everything. And I eat, you know, just boring plates of fish and vegetables and dry tuna salads, and I don't have any mayonnaise or any dressings, and if I do, it's that disgusting, what's it called, what's the name of that brand that I fucking detest, pardon my French, but I really do hate them, Skinny Foods, the Skinny Foods Co. Oh my god, I remember watching someone do a review video of, it wasn't like their mayonnaise, it may have been their mayonnaise, but it was like a vinaigrette. And they opened the bottle, squirted some of it out, had it in their hands, moved it around. It looked like jizz. There's no other word to describe it. It was jizz. It was repulsive to look at. Anyway. So yeah, people will switch over to these versions of their diet because it's things that have worked for them in the past. So this is us in diet version A, all right? We're one half of the yo-yo is complete. And they follow that for a while, they lose some weight, and eventually they start to become bored because what they're eating is boring, the foods that they're eating are tasteless, it's a very bland diet because they've had to go low-fat everything, or they've had to go low-carb everything, or whatever their approach is. And they're starting to get fed up. Yes, the scales are coming down, but life's a misery. It's becoming more and more difficult to stick to because the more time that goes on, the more they miss the foods they were eating before, the harder it is to keep it up. Motivation disappears, willpower becomes non-existent, and here we are at the point where, fuck it, let's just give up. I don't care anymore. I just want to eat this. I just want to eat that. Diet version one comes to an end. Diet version 2 kicks in, and diet version 2 is the same diet the person was trying to get away from. So if you've listened to enough of these episodes, then you'll know that I often talk about people not having a weight problem. People do not have weight problems in the same way that people do not have financial problems. People have spending problems and, well, not necessarily earning problems, or maybe, but when it's finances, you're either not making enough or you're spending too much, or it's a combination of the two. When it comes to our body weight, you're either not burning enough calories or consuming too many calories, or a combination of the two. So your weight doesn't do anything by itself, in the same way that your finances don't do anything by themselves. There is a thing in the middle, you controlling the what comes in, controlling what goes out. Finances are always a kind of easy one to make it a bit more relatable. So your weight cannot do anything by itself, right? It is not going up by itself. It is not coming up down by itself. It is going where it goes as a direct result of the choices you make, of the things you do, of the countless things that add up to your weight being where it is. So you're going about your daily life, you've switched back to this normal version of your diet, and it was that normal version of your diet that took your weight to a place where you decided you wanted to lose weight that had you switch into the other version of your diet, right? And this is what yo-yo dieting is. It is not your weight going up and down. That's just a side effect. It's a side. People can jump from diet to diet and their weight can do nothing. You know, you could yo-yo diet, you could jump from, fasting to keto, to Slimming World, to Weight Watchers, and you could not lose or gain any weight. You could make no progress with any. You could be neither up nor down, but you're yo-yo dieting because you're jumping from diet to diet to diet. But most people jump from versions of diet to diet and their weight does go up and down. And it's because of this. I want to lose weight, so I'm going to start following this set list of rules. I'm not actually going to address anything. I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to change myself as a person. I'm not going to change my habits. I'm not going to change my lifestyle. I'm just going to follow Slimming World. I'm going to have these sins. I'm going to have these healthy extras. I'm going to have these three foods. Free foods. I said three as in the number three, but it's the same thing. Have these free foods. And when I go to group and step on the scales every week, my weight should be coming down. And you follow that for long enough, you lose some weight, you eventually get fed up, you stop going to group, and then you start going back to, I mean, we should really just call it normal, right? That's what it is, when you go back to normal. And this is why I constantly talk about why people need to stop trying to lose weight. You need to stop trying to do something about your weight. You need to stop trying to lose weight. You need to start addressing the source of the problems. I've said this recently, and I don't know if I said it in the last podcast episode or not. I think I did. But let's say it again anyway. You know, let's use a different example. If you've got a switch in your house that isn't working, I think I said a plumber the last time. If you've got, here's a brilliant example. My in-laws they live in a bungalow, a spacious bungalow, but the wiring in it is very old. They got a hot tub fitted in their back garden when my father-in-law was getting close to retirement. One of his gifts to himself, they got a hot tub fitted and their electric board, I don't know what the consumer board, wasn't capable of handling what it needed to do to run this thing. So they didn't get the house rewired, but they got a new consumer board. It caused massive problems, and they now have this very this very awkward house. I go up there and do various DIY bits and pieces. There was a plug in the hall that wasn't working. I managed to get it sort of working, but it's dependent on, you have to flick a switch. The hall has two switches, right? You know how you have like an upstairs, downstairs switch? The bottom one could be switched down the way, and then you go up the top and switch the other way to switch it on. Their hall's like that. One's at the living room door, one's at one of the bedroom doors. If you have them flicked a certain way, that socket doesn't work, right? So the workaround for that is you make sure that you only use one switch. The plug in the hall works, and it means that my mother-in-law can switch on her little lamp in the hall that she likes to switch. That she likes to switch on and it works. Now, that's just my workaround for it, right? What it really needs is an electrician to go in there, rip the walls to pieces, and rewire the whole bloody house. But that's not happening anytime soon, so this is the workaround. An electrician would go into that house and get to the root of the problem, right? What is the problem here? The problem is, I want this switch in my hall to work. Fine. The amateur, me, has come in and managed to get it half working, but you have, here's the kind of list of rules you have to stick to make sure it continues to work. An electrician would go in there and say, right, that needs to come out, that needs to change, and we need to rewire this whole thing. And you will never have to do any of the other stuff again. The switch will just work. The example I used last week was with a plumber. You know, if you had a leaky something, a leaky pipe, something under your sink, you could wrap some tape around it, you could wrap a rag around it. Christ, you could put a bucket under it to catch the drips. It doesn't solve the problem, but it means that there's water not pissing everywhere, at least, right? But it doesn't solve the source of the problem. All you've done is make a change to the outcome. You've made the outcome a little bit better. A plumber would go in there and remove the pipe, fix what needs fixed, replace what needs replaced, put it back together, and you would no longer have a leak or a drip. And this is what it's like with our diet. People follow things like Slimming World and Weight Watchers and Slim Fast and Atkins and all the other shite in between, and they're doing it to change their weight. But like the awkward electricity, the awkward lighting situation, like the leaky pipe situation, your weight is the leaky pipe. Your weight is the dodgy switch. It's not the core of the problem. It's not the main issue. It's the outcome of a wider issue, right? It's the outcome of your habits, your behaviors, your thoughts, your beliefs, your diet history, the things you've been subjected to for all these years. Wherever your weight is right now at this moment in time is the outcome of, I know my audience, probably decades of dieting, since your early teens, since your late teens, maybe in your early 20s, you're in your 30s, 40s and beyond now. You have been chasing the scales up and down for a very long time. And the reason you've been chasing the scales up and down for a long time is because that's what you've been doing, chasing the scales. Instead, what you should have been chasing was the real solution. My weight keeps doing this because I keep doing that. So let's park the weight stuff to the side for a moment and let's focus on why I keep doing that. We've had lots of great questions inside the Munro Method community this week that we've been able to dive into. And it's great because people are finally starting to understand that it's not just about following a plan to lose weight. It's not just about counting calories and making sure you're eating vegetables and all those wonderful things that we can do for our bodies. It's about addressing, identifying, understanding, and addressing the reasons why I do this. Why is it when I'm tired, I do this? Why is it when I get to the end of the working week, I have to reward myself with food? Why do I eat completely differently at the weekends compared to the weekdays? Because it's these things that contribute to where someone's weight goes. It's never any one thing. Nobody is overweight because of takeaways. Nobody's overweight because of McDonald's. Nobody's overweight because of bread or cake or crisps or biscuits, that was supposed to be. Maybe there's a gap in the market for some crisps. Bisc crisps. Nobody's overweight because of one individual thing. You all have multiple components. So I'll tell you some of mine. I come from a family of three, and I came from a family where my parents were very much do not waste food because we were poor. We didn't have a lot of money, and it was very much do not waste food. When you sit down at the dinner table, you are not leaving until that plate is cleared. You have to have eaten absolutely everything before you're allowed to get up and away from the table. Three of us, me, my younger brother and sister, sat at the table in the kitchen. My mum and dad went through to the living room to watch TV. We got left to eat. And when they came back through, we would have to be finished. And I discovered very quickly that, and it didn't matter what size a portion was put down to you. Like, my mum liked to overfeed us because she did not like the whole, I'm hungry, in between meals. So meals were big portions. My dad's always eaten big portions and cleared plates. So I discovered very quickly that if I eat fast enough, it does not matter how much food you put in front of me. If I eat quick enough to the point where my brain does not know how much space is left in my stomach, I can fit all that in there. So from a very early age, I've got two unhelpful habits. Number one, don't waste food. Putting food in the bin is a waste. Number two, you have to clear every plate of food. Number three, eating very quickly. So I've already got three exceptionally unhelpful habits, things that I see all the time in the people that I work with every day. Think using themselves as a food bin because putting food in the bin is a cardinal sin. Not leaving food on a plate. If you put the portion out, you eat it. It doesn't matter how much food is there, you clear the plate, and then eating very quickly. One thing was, you know, I was encouraged to eat mindfully because we didn't have a TV in the kitchen or anything. We had one TV and it was in the living room. So it wasn't like we were watching TV or distracted or anything, which is another big one that I see every day. But then watching my mum yo-yo diet for all of my childhood was obviously a factor in the issues that I had. And then once I grew up, left, went to the Navy at 17, came back, moved out, moved in with a friend, moved in with partners, got a flat, and then you're left in charge of your own eating. Here I am now, away from my parents, in my own house, eating very quickly, eating big portions, clearing plates, hell no, putting food in the bin, eating everything that's there. Is that going out of date? Will we put it in the bin? No, let's eat it. Let's eat those five cakes that are going to go off because you don't put food in the bucket. That's ridiculous. Why would you ever do that? And that, plus many other things, alcohol, takeaways, convenience foods, etc. That's why I ended up 14 and a half stone version of Jason instead of whatever I am today, 11 and a half, 12 stone, something like that, which is my kind of healthy weight. And that's my weight right now is the outcome of the things that I've learned from the eight. So I'm 38 now. I've been doing this nutrition thing for 6 years. I went on my own weight loss journey 2 years prior to that. So where I am right now, my weight right now, I don't put any effort into it. I don't think about it. I don't step on the scales. I don't track calories. I don't do anything with my weight. My weight now is the byproduct of the things that I've learned and developed over the last 8 years or so from the age of 30. And that's the place that I'm trying to help everyone that I work with get to, trying to move away from that. Here is what I do to lose weight. Here is what I do when I'm eating normally. And both of these things, taking your weight, pulling it in two opposite directions and helping people get to that point where it is, this is your diet. There is no other version of this. This is how you eat every day. It does not make your weight go up. It does not make your weight go down. And that's what I'm trying to do with everybody I work with. So inside the Monroe Method, obviously we're helping people lose weight, but that's happening as a byproduct of the other work that we're doing. So that my hope is when we get to the end of the process, there's no normal to go back to, right? If somebody still has a normal to go back to, they're not going to keep that weight off. And that's why the focus throughout, you know, when I'm working with someone, my job is not just to take them from A to B with their weight. It's to make sure that by the time we get to B, they have transformed into the person they needed to become to make sure they can go on and maintain that. We've changed their habits. We've changed their mindset. We've changed their behaviors. We've given them the tools and the processes and the questions to ask themselves, the things they can use to work through their emotional eating or the habits that they don't understand, basically trying to give them autonomy over themselves, over their behavior, so that they don't have to come back to work with me every year for the rest of their life and keep paying me the same money to lose the same weight they lost with them last time. Thanks to Slimming World, the likes of Slimming World and Weight Watchers, that's been completely normalized. You know, your weights, when people think about their budget for the year, bringing it back to finances, you know, mortgage, bills, food, weight loss, you know, people have an annual, they don't realize it, but you have an annual budget for weight loss. If you go to Slimming World for 20 weeks a year and spend your £6 a week and you buy the meals from Iceland and the fucking, what they called, those bar, hi-fi bars, and you buy the magazines and you buy the recipe books. Every year you're spending hundreds of pounds going from 14 stone to 11 stone and then for the rest of the year, you're going from 11 stone back to 14 stone because you switch off Slim World mode and switch on normal mode, and then the next year comes around and you do it all over again. Year after year for more years than I'm sure any of you want to think about. So, to summarize, like, yo-yo dieting is not your weight going up and down. That can happen, but that's not yo-yo dieting. Yo-yo dieting is having these multiple different versions of your diet. This is how I eat during the week. This is how I eat at the weekend. This is how I eat when I'm losing weight. This is how I eat when I'm off work on holiday. This is how I eat when it's half term or the summer holidays. And having all these different things where when it's half term, I eat and drink to excess because we've got days out and we eat out and we blah, blah, blah. During the week, I massively restrict myself because I know how much I eat at the weekend. I don't have a breakfast. I just have a little lunch and then I have a dinner at night so that when it comes to the weekend, I can go back to that excessive eating and drinking. If you want to lose weight for life and be able to maintain your weight for years to come, you need to get rid of all these different versions of your diet. Yes, it will drift a little way, you know, a little farther in directions. So yes, it's time off work. Maybe we eat out a couple of times. Maybe I have a few more drinks. Maybe we get a couple of takeaways, but it should not be all in. It's 2 weeks off work. I'm going to go for it for 2 weeks and I'll deal with the gain when it gets to the other end. That's yo-yo dieting, having these multiple different versions of how you eat and how you treat your body. Like I say, the way that I try to do things with the people I work with, we are trying to get them to the point where they have one version of a diet. And it is where they do most of the things that are healthful and helpful for their bodies most of the time, but understanding that you can be flexible when you do have things like time off, the weekends, holidays, etc. And it's just that little bit of flexibility might see your weight drift a few pounds up and down throughout the year, or even a few kilos up and down throughout the year. Yo-yo dieting is when you bounce from one version of your diet to another and your weight's going up and down by 10 kilos, 3 and 4 stone. That's extreme yo-yo dieting. So hopefully that just gives you a little bit of a, just another little bit of a different mindset, a different way to think about these things and approach these things. You know, focus less on the weight loss part. Focus less on trying to bring the scales down and focus more on trying to stop yo-yo dieting. And stopping yo-yo dieting, that doesn't mean, the thing is, you could stop yo-yo dieting as in, you know, stop bouncing from version to version and your weight could go where it's supposed to go anyway. You know, if you only had one version of your diet, your weight would be the outcome of that. It's these dieting phases where you change your diet and your weight comes down, and then these normal phases where you go back to normal and your weight goes up. These are the issue. What your weight does after that is just a byproduct of the process. So if you want to do something about your weight, stop yo-yo dieting. Stop switching between these different versions. Stop looking for excuses to eat a certain way. Oh, it's time off work. I'm going to eat all of this. I'm going to buy all the snacks and eat all the takeaway and drink all the drinks, etc. So yeah, you know, most of my job, I said this to someone the other day, most of my job is about thinking of 100 different ways to say the same thing over and over again until someone gets it. It's not enough, you know, I've learned this now from working with thousands of people. It's not enough to sit down with someone and explain to them what weight fluctuations is once, you know, right? Here we are on day 5. I am going to explain weight fluctuations to you. You will remember this forever and you will now no longer have issues with weight fluctuations. It will come up multiple times and I'll have to explain it from multiple angles and I'll have to repeat a lot of the same stuff again to help someone get it. And that's what this podcast is all about. You know, coming at the top kind of 5 to 10 subjects that influence people's weight and just coming at it from angle after angle to help people get it and get it even more to the point where it starts to stick. Anyway, that's enough from me. I will catch up with you next time.